Not to drive nematodes into you anymore, but that's about, that's what I'm about to do. I'm actually Erin Morris. Elizabeth's my first name, and I come from Ohio State, and Dr. Graywall's my advisor. You've seen his name on several of these talks today. A little bit of background about Japanese beetle, although many of you are very familiar with it. It was first discovered in the U.S. at about 1916, and it didn't really take much time for it to become a serious pest in some areas. And the reason why it's such a serious pest are because they're greedy. One beetle will eat a lot. They're gregarious, so they're also going to form these aggregations, and they're going to eat just about anything. So not only is the turf grass industry affected because the larvae are eating their way through the root systems, but also your grapes are affected and your mother's prized roses are affected. And so in total, the beetles cause about $450 million a year in damage, most of that being in the turf grass arena. Here's a picture of them just doing their thing. After a while, they don't seem so beautiful anymore when you've seen so many thousands of them, but it's nice to take a step back every now and then and appreciate them for what they are. And just as an example of the kind of damage that they're capable of doing, this is a spot where I collected sassafras leaves across two different summers, and it's the exact same spot. So 2 years ago is the picture on your left, and we have leaves, and then 1 year later they completely have skeletonized all of those leaves. So potentially they can be a really serious pest just given weather conditions in a given year. Some current control methods that are being used are, of course, we've got chemicals, which I'm not going to get into right now. We're trying to step back from that a little bit these days, so there's been a lot more emphasis on types of cultural control and increasingly biological control. One interesting method that I found when I just did a little search online were these spikes of doom, which were kind of these cleats that you could put on your shoe and then physically walk around in your yard and hope to lacerate as many of them as possible. Also, the one that you're most likely to see in your yard or your neighbor's yard are the pheromone traps or feeding lures, which are notorious for taking every beetle in the neighborhood and bringing them right to your yard, failing to kill them, and then basically just decimating all the plants that you had in your yard. So the only suggestion for those are to maybe give them to your neighbor to use as a gift. And what I'd like to focus on today is entomopathogenic nematodes, both Steinernema and Heterorhabditis genera. And I'd like to try and combine what we know about the nematodes with the pheromone traps, the feeding lures, because the actual attractant itself works very well. And if there's some way that we can get the beetles that got away, then we can turn this technology into something that's a little more useful. So the objective for my experiment I've got is twofold. First, I just want to see, can we even use nematodes against adult Japanese beetles? There's not a lot of work that's been done on this area. And secondly, if we find some that are able to reproduce in the beetles, can we then allow those nematodes to reproduce and then send that beetle out as a taxi cab and hopefully spread it wherever it may, maybe laterally, maybe vertically. So our hypotheses were, first of all, that we will find nematodes that can kill the beetles, and second, that they will be able to reproduce. So the materials for the first one is that I took 20 different nematode isolates that I got from a lab member that was also in Dr. Graywall's lab. He had done some sampling and came up with all these isolates. They're not yet identified to species. And I just used them, I reared them up into enough numbers, and in two groups of 10, I placed 10 beetles in a cup, and with moist sand, I had a treatment of 10,000 nematodes per beetle, and then over several days, I assessed the mortality. Okay. And for the second part, I took some successful nematodes from the first bioassay, and again, in the same scenario, I've got 10 beetles in a cup, the same application rate, and I've saved the cadavers and put them on a white trap. Now, you may be thinking that this looks suspiciously like your breakfast, but it's just my horrible paintbrush rendition of what a white trap is. And the actual yolks of those eggs are infected larvae, and the idea is that as the nematodes emerge, they can travel down this piece of white filter paper in the water, and that's how you can collect them. It usually takes about 15 days for them to go to their life cycle, and after that time I was able to count and get an idea of their reproductive ability. So what did we find? First of all, here's our set of 10 nematode isolates, the control is the line right here in the bottom. And we find that overwhelmingly, most of these isolates are pretty good at killing adult Japanese beetles. Not only are they killing them in high numbers, up in, you know, 70 to 80%, but they're also starting to kill clear into 3 days. So it's rather rapid control. The second set, we've got a similar story. Most of them are able to cause significantly higher damage than the control alone, which was just moist water. So in the results from this are that we've got all these nematode isolates, which are not named, so I'm not going to just list them off here, that were able to cause a lot of mortality, and every single treatment was significantly better than the water. What I did find is that both Steinernema and Heterorhabditis, even though they've got different host-finding strategies and different symbiotic bacteria, they can both kill them equally. There was no difference between the two. So we've got two nematode genera. Both are able to equally kill these beetles, but can they both reproduce? And what we find is no. The Heterorhabditis is completely incapable of reproducing inside of adult Japanese beetle, but the Steinernema is able to. It is able to produce roughly 2,000 infected juveniles per beetle, which, if you're familiar with nematodes in larval settings, is a lot lower in number than you'd normally encounter, but it is here. So overall, what we find, just to drive the point home, is that if we're going to try and use this system where we're using nematodes to control adults, then both Steinernema and Heterorhabditis can kill, but if you're trying to go for some sort of auto-dissemination effect, then only Steinernema are going to be able to be used for that, just because they're the only ones that can reproduce. So this is my entire lab group basically that helped me, and I see that my advisor has removed his name from this for some reason. But that's Dr. Parwinder Graywall. So any questions?
Yes, we have lots of time for questions.
Yes?
Are you envisioning with the auto-dissemination that the infected beetle would fly somewhere and then spread the nematodes in the soil, or say beetle to beetle during mating?
Well, I know for a fact that beetle to beetle is a no-go. It does not work. Absolutely not. The hope in this case is that they're going to do it vertically.
So they would go, and you said they die within 3 days or so. So they would, the next overposition event, mm-hmm. they would go down there and lay some eggs and probably
and die there.
Back.
Yes.
Can they fly once they're infected by the nematode?
That I'm not sure. Just because the temperature is a little low, they're not usually flying at that. So I guess I'm not sure about that.
Because if they can't fly away, they can't.
That's true. We figured worst case scenario, you wouldn't have to deal with those big bags of dead bugs in your yard. Yes?
How will you attract them and detect them out of the field?
Well, we'd set up the same type of pheromone trap feeding lure that you would use in a backyard and attach a chamber to it. So the idea is that nematodes, they can't be used above ground because they require the moist environment and they can't tolerate the UV light. So if we can have a chamber in this trap, then they can just walk through it. They'll walk to the towards the light, right through this sand, across these nematodes, and then just out the other end.
Thanks.
Yes?
There was another student working on this with Benerisium, and have you been in correspondence with her?
No.
And do you know if it's that?
No, I'm not aware of which person you're speaking with.
Maybe there's some synergy there.
Is it Nebraska?